2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. I'm going to stop reading there. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. I just wonder, how many of y'all are saved tonight? I mean, you really saved? You know you're saved on your way to heaven? If you are saved, you are an ambassador for Christ. Now, this wasn't spoken to just the preachers. It wasn't spoken to just the deacons. It wasn't spoken to church leaders. It was spoken to the believers in the body of Christ. For now, we are ambassadors in Christ. If you've often wondered what your title is as a Christian, what your duty is, every one of us has this duty. We are to be an ambassador for Christ. Well, at first that sounds great, unless you don't know what an ambassador is. We hear a lot about ambassadors. We hear of how ambassadors are appointed in our country, how they serve in other countries. But oftentimes, maybe people don't know the details or duties of an ambassador. And that's what we're looking at tonight, ambassadors for Christ. What does it mean for me to say that I am an ambassador of Christ? What is the definition of that? What characteristics are associated with that? Well, let me just give you a few things very quickly about the duties of an ambassador. First, I need to say that an ambassador is the highest ranking diplomat from one country to another. They are a diplomat in one country, but their citizenship is in an alien land. Countries have a reciprocal agreement of diplomacy where they send diplomats from their country to the other country and vice versa. And that means that as Christians, we need to understand that while we are in this world, we are the highest ranking diplomat that God has in this world. But also, don't forget, our citizenship is in another land. Our conversation isn't just here. And while we have to survive in the circumstances that's around us, we also understand that we are citizens of another place. Isn't it something that we're a citizen of a country that we've never been to? But it's still home to us tonight. We are part of that glorious family of God who can claim our citizenship in heaven. And therefore, our rights come from the King Himself who dictates to us what our duties are. Another thing about the ambassador is the ambassador is entitled to deal directly with the king or president or the head of state. That means as an ambassador, you don't have to go through me to talk to the king. You don't have to go through anyone else. It's great to share prayer requests. It's great to share burdens with one another and to know that other people are praying. But you know what is even more wonderful than that? To know that as an ambassador of the Lord Jesus Christ, if I go home tonight and am faced with a situation that none of you know about, and maybe it's something you would help me if you were there and you could help me, but I might be in a place where you're not able to help me, and I might be in a place where I can't get a hold of you, but thank God I can always go directly to the King. We have a hotline to heaven. You don't have to wait. You don't have to tarry. There's no obstacles that's there. The Lord says, any time that you need me, just call on me. I'm right there. You know, oftentimes in Scripture, the Bible refers to the Lord as being light. And for some reason, you'll always find that manifestations and revelations in the Scriptures are associated with light. People will be in terrible, terrible situations in the Bible. And then suddenly with the quickness of light and the speed of light, everything changes. And the reason that God is light, just as the Scripture says, is because we know at the speed of light. We know how fast that light travels a second. It's unbelievable. We can cry out and ask for God to help us and know that He travels at the speed of light on everything that He does. That means that if I'm here and I need the Lord to help me, by the time that I say, Jesus, help me, then I know that He's already been around this world 8 times. because He will answer our prayer and we can go directly to Him. You come to the front here to pray. This is a good place to pray. But I hope you go farther than an altar when you come to pray. Because why just come to the altar when you can go all the way to heaven? You can deal directly with the King yourself. You don't have to have me barter for you. You don't have to have me intercede. And I'm not downplaying the importance of intercession. But I am saying this. Don't ever forget that any time that you need Him, just call on Him. He's right there. He's just a prayer away. You don't have to have an appointment. You don't have to have a set time. Any time is a good time to go to the King and talk to Him. And He's willing to listen and He's willing to help. Ambassadors are special messengers. An ambassador is not allowed to speak by their own authority. The first thing they train an ambassador is in the area of speaking to those with diplomacy. And as part of being diplomatic, an ambassador will never utter anything of their own authority. Everything that they say will be under the authority of the King or the leader that they represent. I think we'd probably be better off if we'd understand. We probably all need to talk a little less. And when we say it with the authority of God, it'll say a whole lot more. Another thing, they're on a special mission. Sometimes they're sent with a specific purpose. We saw this week in the news where Americans that were held hostage, that a former president was sent there. That president was sent there on a special mission. He was representing our country as an ambassador. Oftentimes, we've seen people that maybe weren't even in politics. Maybe they were in business, or perhaps they had a special business relationship in a particular country. And somebody in America needed help. So we would call on them as an ambassador for a specific mission and a specific purpose to go and to deal with that other country because we knew that they could get the job done. Let me tell you something. Don't just ramble through life. Take the job that God has given you and understand we're here for a reason. We're not just wasting time, but we're to redeem the time. We're on a specific mission. We've got a specific purpose. And as idle as sometimes that may seem to the world, you just keep doing what God has given you to do and be faithful in what the Lord has asked you to do. And God will always bless your efforts. In 1 Kings chapter 7, there was a man by the name of Hiram that the king hired to work on pillars for the temple. He built these enormous pillars, spent great time on them. But the strangest thing in the 22nd verse is it talks about upon the top of the pillars were lily work. That's a strange statement. If you just read it and pass over, it doesn't mean a whole lot. But think about it. Here is a man that is cunning in his field. And he's called in to build pillars, the most important and impressive piece in the temple. And when he builds these large pillars, he spends an enormous amount of time upon the top of the pillar putting in lily work, carving lilies. Well, that doesn't mean a lot when you first look at it, but think about it. The height of those pillars is tall as what they were, standing on the ground. No human being that ever passed by those pillars could have seen what was on top of them. He spent more time working on the top of the pillar than he did anywhere else, according to history. Do you know why? Because he wasn't working to impress others. He didn't want everybody to walk through and say, look at the work that Hiram's done. He knew that there was one that would always look down, and rather than see the front of the pillar, the first thing they would see is the top of the pillar, because that was God looking down on His work. And He's saying, Lord, the work that I'm doing, I'm not doing this to impress men. I'm doing this because You see it. And I want my work to impress You, Lord. I want You to know that I've been faithful in the work that You've given to me. The greatest blessings You experience as an ambassador of the Lord oftentimes is the work that you do that nobody else will see or know about. But God says, I'm looking down from heaven and I see your work and I'll reward you for what you're doing. So you be faithful in it. Nobody else can see it, but I can see it and I'll bless you for it. If we could somehow get the perspective of God on things that we're looking at. We have a tendency to look at everything through our angle and our perspective instead of looking at things as God looks at it and the way the Lord sees it and what the Lord thinks about it. And that's how we should really look. Years ago, a botanist traveled all the way to Scotland. He was looking for one of the rarest flowers at that time known in all the world, a beautiful flower, a flower by the name of the heather bell. Finally, he came on a field that had heather bell flowers on it. He was so anxious. He sat down in that field and he got a microscope out. And from what I understand, why this flower is so rare, when you put it under a microscope, the blossoms of the flower almost look like a prism that just keeps going and going and going. It's breathtaking to look at under a microscope. So here he is intrigued in this, looking at this under this microscope. He's consumed with it. His thoughts consumed with it. And he keeps staring at it. And he gets enthralled by it, not paying any attention to an old shepherd that has come up alongside of him. And finally the shepherd nudges him. And he said, sir, what are you doing? And he said, well, I'm looking at a heather bell. He said, a heather bell, what's that? He said, one of these little flowers here. And he said, would you like to see? And the old shepherd at first was reluctant, but curiosity got the best of him. He said, I'd love to see it. And the old shepherd looked down into the microscope. And in a little while, tears were dripping off of his chin. And the botanist looked at him and he said, I'm sorry, sir. I didn't mean to offend you by coming into your field. And I hope that I haven't offended you in any way. And he said, oh, no, sir, that's not why I'm crying. He said, to think that all of my life I have trampled these underfoot. Something so beautiful. I had no idea. I was just walking over it and going on and doing my job and had no realization of the beauty that was beneath my feet. I wonder how many of us just trample through life and God scatters blessing after blessing along the pathway of life and we don't stop to put it under the microscope of God's grace and mercy and say all of this time I've just been trampling all of that under feet and God has been so good and I never took time one time to really examine it through God's eyes and see it the way the Lord sees it. A special mission with a specific purpose. Something else interesting. The laws of the country the ambassador is working in does not apply to them. Only the laws of the country they come from. If you're an ambassador in England, the laws of England do not apply to you. The laws of America apply to you. It's where your citizenship is at. Those are the laws that you abide by. Now, please hear me on this. I don't care if every liberal church in America tells you God has a new set of rules. He doesn't. You're bound by the book. It's His way. We don't march to the tune of the world. The world is constantly, this nation is constantly changing their laws. Years ago, things that were wrong are now right. And things that were right are now wrong. Laws will change. You can drive down the highways. Some of these highways right around here a few years ago, they were 55 mile an hour. If I went 65 then, I'd have been in trouble. But soon they came, changed the law, said you can go 65. I don't have to drive 55 anymore because the law says I can go 65. The laws here are constantly changing. But you understand this. The law of God has not changed. Jesus didn't come to do away with the law, but rather that the law might be fulfilled. The law is our schoolmaster to bring us to Jesus Christ. The law is like a mirror. We look in the mirror, and the mirror shows us for what we are. In the morning when I look in the mirror, believe me, my mirror tells me, Cal, you need to comb your hair. My mirror tells me I need to wash my face. My mirror tells me I need to shave my beard. The mirror shows me all of that, but the mirror cannot do anything about that. It just shows me for what I am. But yet it is not powerful enough to do anything to help me change what I am. And when we do away with the law of God, man loses his moral and spiritual compass, and he doesn't know any direction. He doesn't know where to turn. And the law shows us that we're wrong. But thank God for the grace of God that says, my law will show you, but my grace will change you. Law will prove to you that you need me, but my blood is sufficient to make the change in you. He has something that will make the difference in your life. Now you better hold on to that, because the laws are getting ready to change and change big time. I'll just be honest with you. I keep preaching the way I'm preaching, feeling the way I'm feeling. I hope some of y'all got some bail money. I'm going to need it. We're about there. See, the law soon will tell us you can't preach from the pulpit, that people can't live together, that it's a sin if they live together before they're married. Read my lips. It's sin to be physically involved with one another outside the bonds of marriage. It is sin. I know that the law is changing now, trying to tell us suddenly that no longer is marriage between a man and a woman. But you listen, I abide by the laws of another country. And the laws of heaven teaches me that God has a man for a woman and a woman for a man. But you rest assured, this church and every church in America that preaches that will soon be in trouble. The laws of this nation is changing, friend, but I don't have to stick my finger up to see which way the wind is blowing. I know what this book has to say about it. And there's some things that's right, and right is right, and wrong is wrong. I pray that we get back to that place where we understand the power and the authority of the Word of God to look the devil in the face and say God's Word is true. Sin is sin, and you cannot be saved until you see it the way God wrote it. Try to change it all you want to. Some things you can't change. And I don't stand that way because I'm just an old narrow-minded preacher. I stand that way because I want the power of God in my life. And I've got to abide by the laws that heaven has set for us, not the laws that Hollywood sets. Not the laws that our contemporary motive sets. I'm not concerned about what's going on and what's happening to try to be in style and in rhythm with the world. I want to be in tune with heaven and know what this book has to say and live my life back and shake it in the devil's face and say, hallelujah, it is written. That's our authority, is the Word of God. If you don't know what it says, nothing you can do about it. Might be hot back there. It's really hot up here. I'm about to get my second wind. The other thing, ambassadors are the first ones brought home in the time of war or unrest. If war breaks out in the foreign country, before the first shot is ever fired, they say, the king says, go get them and bring them home. I want you to send in whoever you have to send in. Send in the Marines. Send in special forces. But you go get the ambassadors. You go get their families. And you get them back to safety. You get them back home. Now, that doesn't mean a lot to you right now. But let me tell you how I believe the Bible. And if you don't believe it that way, you're entitled to be wrong. But I believe that this world is not going to get better. I believe this world is going to get worse. And as the world gets worse, there will be a spirit of iniquity that will abound. It will set the stage for what we call an antichrist to come into power. And that antichrist will deceive the multitude of people. He'll have such an arrangement of peace in mind that he'll be so subtle that they'll gobble that up worldwide and say, let's follow him, not knowing who he is or not knowing his agenda. The whole time in the back of his mind, he has one plan and purpose, and that is to try to stop the people of God and the church of the living God from seeing souls saved and growing and reaching people. And then suddenly tribulation will be right on the doorstep. He'll set things up until what he'll say is, I'm going to turn the key and unleash such tribulation in this world that there has never been a time of sorrow and woe ever known to man like the tribulation that is yet to come. He'll put it in the hearts from Gog of Magog, which is the former Soviet Union, to come together with other nations against Israel in a battle. And he won't stop there. He'll muster up a 1,000,000-man army. Dry up the Euphrates and march upon the very people of God there in the valley of Megiddo. It is called the Battle of Armageddon will be fought. The blood will flow to the bridle of the horse. The blood will flow like a river as thousands and thousands are killed in that battle. It'll be a war of all wars. Extermination of people by the masses and the multitude. Oh, what a war! Famine and hunger. Earthquakes and sorrow. Lawlessness. Unsafe. No safety. Men will do things that they never thought they would do because the spirit of lawlessness will rule and reign. The wickedness will be more vile than you can ever imagine. And it'll be a war. Oh, but let me stop. Before the first shot is ever fired, I believe the Father is going to say to the Son, not my children. They're not going through that. If you want to hang around for the tribulation, tip my hat to you. I'm getting out of here on the first boatload. And the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and the voice of the archangel, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain, who are we, the ambassadors which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. And the Lord will say, you're not going through that. I'm taking you home. I'm getting back. I'm getting you out before the war ever comes. You're not going to have to fight that battle. I'm taking you home. Somebody shout to the Lord tonight. Just get in practice. Because that could be the night that the Lord comes for us. Don't wait on some of these signs. We're going to be gone before you ever get a chance to see them. If you want to hang around and find out who the Antichrist is, hang around and tell him hello. I'm going to laugh at him from the other side. I'm going to let the great white horse rider take care of him. Oh, glory. Well, glory. I'm about to have a fit tonight. We're in a place where we ought to be excited as never before to think we could be that generation that Jesus was talking about when he stood there and said, there'll be some men that shall not taste of death, but they shall see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. That could be you and I tonight. We could be in that number when the Lord calls us home. You say, you're wild. Just wait until I get the new body. But then, after a period of time, if there is no war, after a period of time, they'll call ambassadors home, or else they'll become denationalized. You can only stay in a foreign country so long. And then they're concerned that you'll lose sight of your objective and your mission. They'll call you home, but you don't have to go. You can stay. When you stay, you become denationalized. You're no longer a part of the mission that they've given to you. Somebody said, "Preacher, why do we have to die so we can become denationalized from this world? Set free from this place." Because God says our permanent residence there is more important to Him than our temporary joy here. Permanent peace. Permanent healing. Permanent glory. Can I just remind you one more time tonight? Don't get too attached to this world. If you're saved, you're not going to be here too long. You say, "I'm a young person now." Yeah, but you'd be surprised how quick the time goes by. You just turn around and it's gone. You just look back. I can't believe it just seemed like yesterday that Candy and I were married. Now here we are, grandparents. And, you know, you turn around, the years are gone. Would you agree with that? You folks that are older, would you agree with that? A lot of y'all say, "Amen, you're a lot older than I am." But I tell you one thing, the older you get, the less at home you feel here. I can't explain it to you. It's not that I don't love life, and it's not that I don't love my family, but I am so ready to go. I tell you, I'm drunk on the promise that God could call me this night. Sometimes it overwhelms me to the place that I think, who am I that God wouldn't love me enough to give me the hope of a land that I'll be in one day where no more will burdens be carried, no more will problems ever touch us to go to that place of perfection where the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords was willing to die to say, "I'll make a way so that you can go." Sometimes our heart will stand on our head and say, as John, "Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. I don't know when He's going to call, but I know one thing, if He calls tonight, I'm ready." I hope you're ready. I'm an ambassador. And if you're saved, you're an ambassador. That you're not going to be here forever. Only two worlds. Which one do you belong to? Where's your citizenship at? Which place do you call home? What's it mean to you? We happened to have the TV on yesterday, and they got this crazy old show on now. I don't know if any of you have ever seen it. It's called How'd They Get So Rich. I hadn't seen it. Yesterday's the first time. I caught about 10, 15 minutes of it. They had this guy on there, I don't know, he had this house, 18,500 square feet, had a $3.5 million boat and a $750,000 boat and a $75,000 boat. And they went through and they had a $45,000 chandelier from Italy. And then, of course, they built it all up and then they asked him, "Well, how'd you get so rich?" One guy got rich on Billy Bob teeth. Laugh if you want to. Every one of you got a pair. Some of us got four or five. Be careful with those things. They'll get you in trouble. I was traveling one time, put a pair of them in, thought I'd kid around with a service attendant. And when I pulled in, and he said, "Can I help you?" And I rolled the window down, looked at him, and he had teeth just like those Billy Bob teeth that I had in. Lord, forgive me. Remember, I abide by the laws of another world. I wasn't doing to make fun of him. I just got caught. This other guy, he was a lawyer, I guess, and had done several things. I don't know what all he'd invested in, what all he'd done, but they went into all the details. And I looked at all that, and I thought, buddy, they ain't seen nothing yet. what we have waiting for us. A camera's never took a picture of it. An eye has never seen it. And there's no way you could wait all night long for me to tell you about it, because ear hasn't even heard about it. The Apostle Paul was caught up into the third heaven. It took him 14 years to write about it. And after 14 years, all he could say is, "I can't say. I saw things which are not lawful for man to utter." 14 years, he finally got ready to tell him. He said, "I can't tell you. I haven't seen it with my eyes, and I haven't heard about all of it with my ears. But you can rest assured, he hath revealed it unto us by his Spirit." There's a better place. There's a better home. Thank God, this world is not my home. I'm just a traveling through. My treasures are laid up yonder, somewhere beyond the blue. Any day, any moment, the Lord could call. And the question is, are you ready when he calls?